Good morning. And without further ado, because of a request that was made by several people, that we speak about the Neviah Esther, whom we never finished, was it a year ago or a little bit more than a year ago, when we did a unit on the Sheva Neviot. And since it is Erev Purim, an amazing time of the year, then we will talk a little bit about Esther as a Neviah. We are not doing a review of the book of the Megillah, please understand. We are concentrating on Esther herself as a Neviah and as the person that she was, the heroine of the Purim story. We know that Esther is the last of the seven Neviot, as they are listed in the Gemara Megillah. Starting with, just to remind you, Sarah, Miriam, Devorah, Hannah, Abigail, Huldah, Esther. There are the seven. Esther is the last. She is the only one of the Neviot that has a sefer of her own. And the title has her name in it. There's no other Neviah that has a sefer at all, and a sefer, let alone a sefer with a name in it. Why is it called Megillah? We have five Sfarim that are called Megillot. They're called such because when you roll and unroll a Megillah, there are parts that are always revealed and there are parts that are always hidden. If you notice, the Baal Kore, when he reads the Megillah, reads it folded like a letter. There are always parts of the Megillah that are hidden. And the five books that are called Megillot have certainly sections that are revealed and sections that are hidden, especially Megillat Esther, that has a lot of hidden material in it. You know, it almost didn't make it into Tanakh. It almost was not included in the Sfarim that we consider Tanakh, our holy works, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. We learn in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Zayin, Amud Aleph, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shalcha Lahem Esther Lechachamim, Kva'uni Lidorot. Esther sent to the Chachamim. In other words, Esther took it upon herself. After the entire Purim miracle was over, to send to the Chachamim of the generation, Kva'uni Lidorot, Kva'uoti, set a time to celebrate. Make it a time that people, the Jews, will remember through all the generations. Make a holiday. For Lidorot, for all generations. Shalchula, they wrote back, Kina atma oreret aleinu leben ha'umot. Maybe we shouldn't do it because you're causing jealousy among all of the nations. People will be jealous when we talk about triumphalism, when we talk about winning the war. Shalchalahem, she wrote back to them, Kvar ketuva ani al divrei hayamim, Lamalche Madai Uparas. And she sent back to them and said, you don't have to worry about that because my story is already written up in the chronicles of the kings of the Medes and the Persians. So you can make a holiday. But that wasn't enough for Esther. Shalchalahem Esther Lachakamim. She sent to them again, Kitvuni Lidorot. It's not enough to establish a holiday. But I also want you to include my story when it says, Kitvuni, write me down. Make me part of the written Tanakh for all generations. Shalchula, they answered, Halo katafti loch shlishim. Shlishim velo ribeim. Very, very strange statement. To translate it literally, didn't I write to you that the halacha is that we tell a story three times and not four times? What is this? There is a pasuk in Mishlei Perek Chav Bet. Exactly what I just told you, but there are two words added. Halo katafti lach shlishim b'moatzot v'da'at. Did I not write you down three times b'moatzot with good advice and da'at and knowledge? And the Metzuda David of Perush Pashtani on Mishlei teaches us, Ratzolomar, in case what Shlomo is saying is, Pen Tomar, lest you will say, Eich Eftach Bashem, Lifnot Levavi, Mikol Iskai, Lahamik, Bidivre Melamdai. How can I trust that the Torah will really always be there to teach me what I need to know when I turn my heart from all of the things I'm busy with and I turn to the Torah? How can I be sure that I will really learn what I need to learn b'moatzot in advice and deot and knowledge? B'laze amar, and for that he answered, meaning Shlomo, halo katafti l'cha b'sefer, b'sefer ha-Torah, dvarim chashuvim b'nichbadim, amurim b'moatzot v'da'at. So I want you to know that the answer is that I have written to you these things not once, but multiple times, that you would learn them. And in each time that they're written, they are written b'moatzot v'da'at. They are written with good advice and with knowledge. And Rashi adds, they are written in the Torah three times in the three parts of Tanakh, in the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. That's Rashi's edition. Metsudo doesn't say anything, and the Pasuk doesn't say anything. It says three times. And so at the time, Chazal answered Esther, we can't add another Sefer, because we have talked about the story of Amalek and the mitzvah of Mechiat Amalek. We have talked about it already three times. And the three times are what? Parshat B'Shalach, which we will read on Shabbat by Yavoa Malek, Nachon. And then again in Parshat Ki Tetze, which we read this past Shabbat, Zachor et Asher Asalacha Amalek. And then it is written again in the Haftarah, Pakarati et Asher Asalacha Amalek in Sefer Shmuel, which we read last week. And believe it or not, we're going to read it as a Haftarah again. It is, I think, one of the only times that we read a Haftarah twice in a row. Maybe it's the only time. That is the Haftarah that we will read next Shabbat. Until they realized what Rashi was trying to tell us, which was, you know what? It needs to be written in each of the three sections of the Torah. And so they found a pasuk which basically says it is in Vayavo Amalek, in the Kriya that we will do this particular Shabbat. Ad Shematsu, I'm back in the Gemara. Ad Shematsu lo mikra katuv batorah, until they found the pasuk that's written in the Torah, which is, we know it very well, Kitov zot zikaron b'sefer. Remember, Hashem said to Moshe after the first milchama with Amalek, write this down as a memory in a sefer, in the sefer, slicha. And they realized, k'tov zot, write this, masha katuv kan uva Mishneh Torah. That which is written here, and Mishneh Torah, which is sefer devarim. In other words, count those two as one. They are both in the Torah, and they are both talking about what? The milchama, the original milchama of Amalek and our obligations. Zikaron, masha ketuv b'neviim. Ketov zot zikaron, ba'sefer, masha ketuv b'megilah. Exactly what we did, what Chachamim did when Esther wrote to them. In other words, they wrote that zikaron, what is written in the Torah and in the Nevi'im, and then again emphasized. so that we learn the lesson, so that we understand the lesson of what Amalek did and what we need to do as a result. And so, of course, it was due to Esther's efforts. It is Esther, Vatichtov, Esther Amalka b'chol tokef, it says in the Megillah. It was Esther who corresponded with the Chachamim of her generation. Why are the Chachamim so concerned and so worried about whether it should be included in Tanakh or not? Well, we need to understand what was going on. We have in the Talmud Bavli Masechet Yoma, Rav Asi is looking at the Perek in Tehillim, Perek Chafbet. Lamnatzeach al Ayelet HaShachar Mizmor LeDavid. Perek Chafbet in Tehillim, Chazal say, Lamnatzeach al Ayelet HaShachar, David HaMelech saw Esther standing as she was about to enter the palace of Ahasuerus and ask him about saving her people. And he dedicated this whole parak of Tehillim to Esther. And he is referring to Esther when he says, Lam natzech al ayelet hashachar. What's ayelet hashachar? Ayelet hashachar is the morning star. And so Rabati in the Talmud Yoma says, Lama nimshala Esther l'shachar? Why is Esther compared to the dawn? Ayelet ha-shachar. Lomar lecha, to tell you, ma shachar sof kol ha-layla, just as dawn is the end of the night, af Esther sof kol hanisim. So is Esther the end of all overt miracles. Whereupon Chazal say, wait a minute. How can you say that Esther is the end of all the miracles? It is before the Hanukkah story. Isn't the Hanukkah story a great overt miracle? Why do we say that Esther is the end? And the answer that they give is that Esther, the miracle of Purim, took place at the time that there was still Nevuah extant in the world. Whereas the miracle of Hanukkah, there is no more Nevuah. Therefore, because there was still Nevuah, then it is possible to put this story into Tanakh, because even the section of Ketuvim needs to be written with some amount of Ruach HaKodesh. That's the category of Ketuvim, that it was written under the condition of Ruach HaKodesh, which according to the Rambam is the lowest level of Nevuah. The time of Esther is a potent time. It is a very, very, very important time in our history. It is a time of transfer. It is the end of the era of Nevi'im. In other words, there are still those other three Nevi'im, Esther, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. But Nevuah at this time is waning. It is the time of transferring of the authority of teaching the generations from the Nevi'im to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. When we say in Pirkei Avot, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, we are well aware of that. Umisarela Hoshua VeYoshua Lizkenim Uzkenim LeNeviim, and the Neviim Misaruha LaAnshei Knesset HaGdolah. When did this happen? We see it. It is happening at this time. It is happening at the time that we recently learned about Esther and then Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and that is the end of Nevuah. We know that it is the end of Nevuah Because we have an interesting thing in Gemara Megillah, I want to remind you. Gemara Megillah, when it's talking about the story of Purim itself, it gives us that amazing pasuk by Yasar HaMelech et Tabato. Remember when Haman comes to the king and says, you know, there's this nation that we don't have any need of, and you know, we might as well get rid of them. And the king takes off his signet ring and gives it to Haman. Then Chazal in the Gemara Megillah tell us that act of the king taking off his ring and giving it to Haman did more to get the Jewish people to follow the Torah than all of the 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'ot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent to Yisrael. In other words, simply put, the fear of extinction, the threat to Am Yisrael, really worked to get the Jews to do tshuva, of course, under the leadership of Mordechai and Esther. Then all of the Nevi'im, the 48 Nevi'im that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent, and the 7 Nevi'ot. Simply put, it was a time for Nevuah to end because it was no longer effective. It wasn't working. What we needed was something different. Looking at the situation, having Talmidei Chachamim that could look in the Torah and interpret it and tell people what is expected of them in whatever era they are living in, from the halachot, from the musar that is in, already in the Tanakh. I'm really worried that I'm not going to be able to cover everything. So forgive me if I try to go a little bit quickly, and if I leave out some important points, because I'm really concentrating on Esther herself. There is a wonderful comparison. Esther is the last Nevi'ah. Sarah Imenu was the first Nevi'ah. And there's a comparison between the two of them. You can guess right away that there's a great comparison. Both of them were taken to a king's palace, if you remember. There is in Esther Rabbah, the Medrash on Megillat Esther, a story that you probably are familiar with. Rabbi Akiva, Haya Yoshev Doresh. Rabbi Akiva was sitting and teaching his students. Benit Namdu HaTalmidim. And his students fell asleep. He thought that his students were falling asleep. Can you imagine? There's Rabbi, the great Rabbi Akiva is teaching. And his students are kind of, probably was a nice warm day over there in Bnei Brak. And the students are falling asleep. Ba'ala ara ayatom. He wanted to think of something that would wake them up. Amar, so he said, Mazachta Esther Limloch. Al Sheva ve'eshrim umeya medina. How did Esther merit to rule over 127 states? How did Esther deserve that? Ela kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But so said Hashem. Tavo Esther. Let Esther come. Bita shel Sarah. The daughter, or of course the descendant of Sarah. Shechaita sheva ve'esrim umeya shana. If you remember in Chaye Sarah, we learned that Sarah Imenu lived for 127 years. V'timloch al sheva ve'esrim umeya medina, and let her rule over 127 states in the kingdom of Ahasuerus. Something about Esther and Sarah is very similar. They have similar experiences, but there is something more. According to the Medrash, when Sarah is taken to the king's palace and she is davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about why is she there, she says, Ribono Shel Olam, Avraham came because you spoke to him. Va'ani bati be'emuna. And I came with him from Ur Kasdim and from Haran. I traveled over the entire Middle East purely because of Emunah. You spoke directly to Abraham. You didn't speak directly to me. I came with Emunah. Why am I in the palace when Abraham is outside the palace? That Emunah, that amazing Emunah of Sarah, think about it, that Emunah of Sarah going into the palace, that Emunah is duplicated by Esther. Esther has the Emunah. When she is taken, the same, it's the same idea. It says, Vati lakach Esther, Vati lakach. And with Sarah, it says, Vatukach. They were taken. They did not go of their own volition. When they were taken, both of them were, so to speak, sent by their male counterpart, right? And both of them went totally, totally, totally with Emunah, that they had a role to play, that it was somehow the right thing to do. Emunah is the connecting, the connection between them. 127 years, 127 Medinot. Okay, let's go to the story. We are going to go to Perek Bet in the Megillah, where we meet Esther. Chazal say, always look at the first place that a person is introduced to know what's going on. We have Ish Yehudi, Haya B'Shushan Abira. Ish Yehudi, a man from Yehuda, was in Shushan Habira. Ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish, Ish Yemini. Notice it starts Ish Yehudi and it ends Ish Yemini. So on a very simple level, we can just say a man from Yehuda, right, from the kingdom of Yehuda that had been destroyed and exiled, was in Shushan at the time, whose name is Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish, from Shevet Binyamin. And when we hear the name Kish, we should immediately associate it with Shaul, the first king of Israel, who was also an Ish Yemini. And Mordechai, we know, is a direct descendant through Shimi, Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera was not killed at a certain time when he was rebelling against David. I'm just telling you the story very quickly. His life was saved, and only because David saved him is there a Mordechai that descended from the family that, of course, raised Esther and allowed us to have this incredible story. And that's why he's called Mordechai and Ish Yehudi, because an Ish Yehudi made it possible for him to exist. The Ish Yehudi is David. So Mordechai is interesting. He's a descendant of Binyamin, but he is there only by the grace of an Ish Yehudi. So this Ish Yehudi Mordechai is in Shushan. Asher hegla Yerushalayim im hagola, asher heglata im Yechanya melech Yehuda, who was exiled from Yerushalayim. With the exile, that was exiled, you notice the term used again and again, with Yechaniah Yehoyachin, the king of Yehuda. In other words, he was exiled from Yerushalayim the first time before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, in the time of the next to last king, not at the end. Asher Hegla, again, Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, had exiled. Chazal say, from all of the Heglas and Gola here that we have in this Pasuk, 1, 2, 3, 4 times, the first one, Asher Hagla Mirushalayim, Hegla et Atzmo, the Gemara says. What does that mean? That means, according to the Midrash, that Mordechai actually was among the people that had gone back to Eretz Yisrael when Koresh, Cyrus the Great, the king before Achashverosh, Cyrus the Great gave the Jews permission to go back to Yehuda and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Yoshua. We know this from Sefer Ezra, right? And among the delegation that went back, among the 42,000 people that went back with them, there was a Mordechai Balshan. He is mentioned in Perek Aleph of Ezra. He went there, but then he came back. This Ish Yehudi was in Shushan. This Ish Yehudi, who is in Ish Binyamin, Ish Yemini was in Shushan because he exiled himself again. If you remember, you know why he exiled himself again? We're coming to it in the next pasuk. Because he heard that a cousin of his had died, leaving a pregnant wife, and the wife had died in childbirth, leaving an orphan. We learn that Mordechai had a sense of destiny breathing over his shoulder. We have in Pasuk Zayin, Vayi Omein et Hadassah, and he raised Hadassah, he Esther Bat Dodo, who was Esther, his cousin Bat Dodo, ki Eima of Aim, because she had no father and she had no mother, Vahana'ara Yifat Toar V'Tovat Mar'eh, and the girl was of beautiful form and good looking. Uvamota via v'ima, and when her father and mother died, likacha Mordechai lo lebat. Mordechai took her to himself as a daughter. So very quickly, we have some interesting things. We have Hiomein et Hadassah hi Esther, right? Two names. Esther has two names. The Gemara talks about why Hadassah and why Esther. Rabbi Meir Omer Tanya, we learn in the Brita. Rabbi Meir says, Esther Shma. Her name was really Esther. Belama Nikra Shma Hadassah. So why is she called Hadassah? Al Shem Hatzadikim Shenikra'u Hadassim. Because the Tzadikim are called Hadassim, first Perek, in Zechariah is talking about somebody Omeid Bein Hadassim Asher Bamitsula, standing among the Hadassim in Babel, in the busyness of Babel, and the Hadassim are the Tzadikim. And so she's called Hadassah because she was a Tzidkanit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hadassah Shema. Rabbi Yehuda Omer said, no. Her name was originally Hadassah. Belama nikreit shma Esther. So why was she called Esther? Al shem shahaita misateret vareha. Because she was hiding her words. Esther, right? Hidden. Shenemar ein Esther magedet et ama. Remember, Esther was not telling anything about her heritage and about her people. Rabbi Nehemiah Omer, Hadassah Shma, her name was Hadassah. Why was she called Esther? Shahayu umota olam korimota al shem Istahar. Because all of the nations of the world called her Istahar, which is Astarte, the moon goddess. Astarte, the Asherah, all of these names, Venus later on, Aphrodite, and then Venus. So they called her after their Avodah Zarah. Basically, the Gemara goes on. So we are told about this Esther. We are told that Mordechai adopted her. There is a lot of medrash here. Esther Bat Dodo is written without a vav. It's Dalid Dalid Vav, not Dalid Vav the way it should be. So Chazal say, read it as though it says Dodo. She was the daughter, so to speak, of his breast, meaning by he omein, he actually nursed her, literally, he suckled her. Chazal say she refused to take milk from any of the midwives that he found, not midwives, any of the wet nurses that he found. And so a great miracle happened. And she is actually suckled. Her life came from Mordechai. He gave her her life. Also, it tells us, in other words, she is completely she is alive because of Mordechai. They also tell us the end, Likacha Mordechai Lola Bat. Don't read it as Bat, but read it as Bayit. He took her as a daughter, but Chazal say that he actually married her. And the interesting thing is he married her to protect her, because an orphan would very often be stolen away and taken as a slave. And so he is protecting her by marrying her and making her his wife. Despite the precautions, despite the protections, despite the fact that Mordechai tried to hide her, we know that Esther is taken and chosen to be queen. Mordechai suspects that something is going on. We have in the Mechilta, and the Mechilta is a Medrash Halacha on Bishalach, Rabbi Elezer HaModa'i Omer, Rabbi Elezer the Modai says, Ze achad me'arba tzadikim shenatan lahem remez. That Mordechai is one of four tzadikim that lived in the world who got a remez, who got a hint. And Mordechai understood that something is going on. Mordechai natan la remez, he got a remez shenemar. B'chol yom v'yom, Mordechai mitaleich. Remember that after Esther was taken, every day Mordechai walked in front of the gates of the king, because he said, "Efshar chasida zo tinaseh la'areil zeh." Is it possible? Does it make sense that this chasida, this pure good person, should be married to this uncircumcised person, Ella? There must be something going on. Atid li rali Yisrael davar. There is going to be something that's going to happen to Yisrael. Behem atidim li natzel el yada. And they will probably be saved through her hand. So we need to ask the question, why? Why was Esther chosen? Why was this miracle baby chosen to be the one that should save Am Yisrael? Why was she chosen to become the queen of Persia? We have a Masorah that Esav, and therefore Amalek, will only fall by the hands of Rachel's children, the children of Rachel Imenu. They are the ones that have the obligation of wiping out, of fulfilling the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek. Specifically Yosef and Binyamin. They are the opposite. Yosef and Binyamin, they are tzaddikim. They are extremely careful. Both of them, remember Yosef says to his brothers, Et ha-Elokim ani yarei, I fear God. Whereas what do we say about Amalek? Velo yarei Elokim. It is really like an exact hefech, an exact opposite. Et ha-Elokim ani yarei, and we say about Esa, about Amalek, lo yarei Elokim. We also have an incredible, incredible contrast of arrogance and sniut. The arrogance of Amalek, who despite the fact that Am Yisrael had just had so many miracles done to buy them, for them, by Hashem, Amalek is basically saying, so big deal. And of course, Vayavo Amalek. They came to fight. That arrogance, we can do it, there's no problem. As opposed to, I want you to know this is my favorite Agadah, my favorite Agadita in the Gemara. This is in Masechet Megillah. It starts, Lo yigara mitzadik einav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never takes his eyes away from a tzaddik. Never think that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what's going on with a tzaddik. He doesn't take his eyes away from him. And a very, very famous statement, my friend, Bizchar tzniut shehaita b'Rachel, as a reward for the tzniut that was in Rachel, Zachta, she merited, v'yatsa mimenu Shaul. She merited that Shaul came out of her, descended from her. U'bischar tzniyut shehaya bo b'Shaul, And as a reward of the tzniut that was in Shaul, Zacha, he merited, v'yatzat mimenu Esther. And Esther descended from him. That is a potent statement in and of itself. I could probably do the whole shayur just on this agadita, and I probably will talk too much about it, because I feel that it is so filled. Basically, the statement is saying that Rachel got some kind of reward that she didn't see in her own lifetime, but that reward was that she had a descendant who was the first king of Yisrael. You know, it's such a sad story with Rachel and Leah, right? Rachel was supposed to be the one that was married to Yaakov all along. But he married Leah first, and Leah had the great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saving for the descendants of Yaakov Avinu. Among them, royalty. Yehuda is descended from Leah, but Rachel was given a gift. Matanot kitanot, Chazal called them, little gifts. In return for the fact that we know what happened, we're going to talk about it in a minute. As a result of her tzniut, she was given a gift that she did have royalty. She had the first king, because the first king was her descendant, Shaul. And Shaul, we know, made a terrible mistake. We've been reading about it, right? We read about it in the Haftorah. Nevertheless, something about Shaul made him deserve that one of his descendants would finish the job that he did not. Almost finish the job that he did not. What was the tzniut? I'm going to try to do it quickly, even though it is such an incredible agadata. Umay tzniut haitaba b'Rachel. What was the tzniut that Rachel had? Dichtiv, as it is written, Vayaged Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi aviyahu. Remember when Yaakov and Rachel meet and he kisses her? That wonderful moment that everybody used to get upset about when I taught sixth and seventh grade, and they would say, Yaakov kissed her? It was a kiss of family. But Yishak, he's overwhelmed, Yaakov, and he knows that this is his Basher. And he said, I'm your brother's, I'm your father's brother. But we know that he's not. No, he's not his father's brother, her father's brother. Bahalo ben achot aviyahu. He was her father's nephew, right? He was the son of her father's sister. Ella Amarla, Ella, he said to her, Min Savali, will you marry me? Amrale, she said, In, I would love to, yes. Mihu, however, Abba Rama'ahu velo yachletlen. My father is a Rama'i, he is a trickster, and he will not allow it to happen. Amarla, he said, Achiv ana b'rama'ut. I'm his brother in trickery. I know how to deal with tricksters. Amrale, she said to him, Ami shari l'tzadike l'sagve b'ramiyuta. She said to him, how could you say that? How could a tzadik deal with any kind of Rama'ut? You're telling me you're a trickster? You're a tzaddik. Amarla in, he said, true, you are absolutely right. Im nevar titbar ve'imikesh titapel, a pasuk that Shmuel Hanavi teaches us in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. When you are dealing with a person who is pure, you must deal purely. But if you are dealing with a person who is crooked to the core, then sometimes you need to play his game. Amarla Umara Miyuta, what is his trickery? Amrale, she said, Itli achta de kishisha mine. I have a sister who's older than me, below Mansiv Limikama, and he will not allow me to get married before her. Masar La Simanim. He gave her, we know, he gave her certain simanim. Ki matalaila, when that night came after the chuppah, amra. I love this line. And I had to do the hologanita to get to this line, because this is the essence of the children of Rachel. So when it was that night of the chuppah, Rachel amra, hashta, Michsifa Achtoi. Now my sister will be embarrassed. I'm going to put it differently. My sister will be humiliated. Yaakov is going to ask her the simanim. She is not going to know the simanim. Everybody around, because Lavan had invited everybody to this kuppah. Everybody around is going to say, oh my God, look. Look at Leah. She wanted to marry somebody who is not interested in marrying her. Misartinu Nihela. What did she do? She gave her sister the simanim. Hainu diktiv, and that's why it is written. Vahi baboker v'hineh Leah. And it was in the morning, and he behold, it was Leah. After all, wasn't it Leah the night before too? But however, we learn, I'm skipping a little bit, that since she had the simanim, and since Rachel stayed in the room and spoke, that Yaakov thought that it was Rachel. Lefichach zachta, therefore she merited the Yatsami Manu Shaul, and she was given the gift of having the first king of Yisrael descend from her. What is that sniyut? That sniyut is putting a person's pain before your own. Putting your sister, look at this, your sister's pain before your own. Being concerned with the pain of the other guy. That is that sniyut of Rachel. Umat sniyut hayaba b'Shaul. Shaul's sniyut is a different kind of sniyut. It's the kind that we normally associate. Shaul, when he was coming back from looking for his father's donkeys, and he had been told by Shmuel HaNavi that he was going to be the next king of Yisrael, came back home, and his uncle, who was probably, though it's not stated, this very same Shimi ben Gera that we're talking about, his uncle came out of the city and said, Shaul, where have you been? Everybody's been looking for you. They forgot about the donkeys and they were worried about you. And Shaul said, I know the donkeys were found, so I came back. And the fact that he had been with Shaul and that Shaul told him he would be king, lo he gid lo. He didn't say a word. Modesty here. The tzniut here is modesty, not clothing modesty. A true modesty of not boasting, keeping things silent, keeping things quiet. Zacha, so that Shaul, who, by the way, is a personality in his own right that you can spend a few good sheurim on. Zacha v'yasat mimenu Esther. Though he didn't do, we know that we read the Haftorah and we're going to read it again. And he didn't kill Agag. And we know that Haman, Ha'agagi, was a descendant of that Agag. Nevertheless, Zachai, he merited, and he had a descendant, Esther. But Amar, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar said, Kishe HaKadosh Baruch Hu posek gedula la'adam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that there should be greatness for a person, then he gives that gedula for all of his descendants, ad sof kol hadorot. So Mordechai is sitting in the gates. He has a feeling that something is going to happen, a feeling of destiny. He knows that he is a descendant of this Shaul. He knows that something is happening. Kol asher karahu, he says later on to Esther, after he's sitting in the gates and he hears about Bigtan and Teresh, and Esther tells about the plot, and so she brings Geula la'olam. But we know that then Mordechai also knows everything that's going on, and he knows about the plot of Haman. And so we have Mordechai facing Esther. And this is, of course, the great moment where the responsibility of action goes from Mordechai to Esther completely. And please remember, the conversation is Mordechai tells Esther to go to the king. She says, you can't just go to the king, right? Because if you go to the king, you're going to get killed unless he stretches out his golden scepter. And Mordechai says to Esther, and we need to hurry, don't even consider that you're going to escape the fate of the Jews because you're in the king's house. And here he gives it the whole thing away. If you're going to be silent at this time, don't worry, Hashem is going to save the Jews. The Jews will be saved by somebody else. But here it is, my friend, Va'at u'beit avich tovedu. But you and your father's house will be lost. U'mi yodea im la'ed kazot higat l'malchut. And who knows if it were not for just such a time that you reached royalty. Basically, Esther, you are being given the opportunity of saving Shaul's house, of doing something that will eternally absolve the great sin of Shaul, because you will make up for at least part of it. You have this opportunity. You are being chosen. And of course, this is the moment that Esther takes over. Because we need to have the points, she says to him, but I can't do it alone. Lech kenoset kol ha'yehudim. She really teaches him. The first thing we have to do is gather all the Jews because I can't do it. I need the whole nation. I named him b'Shushan. All of the Jews in Shushan. V'tzomu alai v'al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshet yamim. And fast for me. And don't eat and don't drink for 3 days. It is amazing. Don't eat and don't drink, Chazal say, to make up for the fact that many of the Jews ate and drank at those parties of Achashverosh, which was the big Avera of that generation. So you will fast as an atonement for the eating that you did at that Mishnah. Also, the 3 days, there was a Mesorah Chachamim. Chachamim teach us, Am Yisrael are never more in Sarah than 3 days. Why? Because it is in the merit of the 3 days that they stood at Har Sinai, Vayhi Bayom HaShlishi, right? It was on the third day in the morning that there were Kolot Ubrakim. They stood at Har Sinai fearfully for 3 days. In the merit of those 3 days, they are never in trouble more than 3 days. Also, there are many other Yom HaShlishis. I'm going to give you one more, and that is Vayhi Bayom HaShlishi, or Bayom HaShlishi, there's no Vayhi there. Bayom HaShlishi, Vayisa Avraham et Einav, Vayar et HaMakom Merachok. Avraham is going to the Akedah. It's right near where I live. It's the third day, and you know what? He comes to the Tayelet at Armon HaNatziv, that's right beyond my building here, and he sees the place, Merachok. He saw it is the first place that you could see the Makom, that you could see the place of the Beit HaMikdash from afar. 3 days that Avraham journeyed, worrying about what would happen and what would he do about his son. In the merit of Avraham Avinu and the merit of Am Yisrael that stood in Har Sinai, Am Yisrael are never in Sarah more than 3 days. So Esther says, Esther has been taught well. She says, and after those 3 days, Avo el Amelech, Asher lo kadat, I will come to the king, even though it's against the law, v'kasher avaditi avaditi. And if that will be my end, then I will certainly be lost. And you remember, Mordechai says, Esther, 3 days will take us into Pesach. It will be Tetvam Benisan on the third day. And Esther says to him, Zakein, oh, come on, you're really getting old, Mordechai. If we don't save the Jews, there's not going to be anybody to celebrate a Pesach. And Vayavor, Mordechai, Vayas, Kechol Asher Tzivta, I love Esther. And so Mordechai said, okay, you're right, Esther, we can do it. We can transgress the Pesach. And he does everything that Esther tells him. Yes, yes, Esther takes over, we know. And the moment is, Vayhi bayom ha-shlishi, right? Here's the third day. Vatilbash Esther Malchut. Esther puts on royalty. Chazal say again in the Gemara of Megillah, why doesn't it say she put on royal garments? Why does it say royalty? She put on nevuah. She enveloped herself in the spirit of nevuah. Here is here where her nevuah comes out, because she knows that she is going to, it all depends on her. She is going to have to be very careful, analyze the situation, and she decides to use the medium of a party, because the sin of the Jews was a party. There is mishteh all over the Megillah. In other words, that which atones for what they had done. And we know also that she got the brilliant idea. And it is an amazing thing, because you see, we have here the combination that's going on at this time in history, the combination, the end of Nevuah and the need for people to use their knowledge, their intelligence, their ability to figure out their knowledge of Torah events. Because you know what she does? She decides not only to have a party, but to invite the king and Haman. And then to see what will play out. Why does she invite Haman? Chazal give 12 reasons. And you can see by the time that we are not going to do 12 reasons. But basically, we can really understand the simplest reason, to make the king wonder why she's inviting Haman, to make the king a little bit jealous, to get Haman himself off guard, to have Haman think, look how popular I am. I am invited alone, just me, to a party with Esther. To watch Haman carefully so that she can maybe see where the moment is, excuse me, when the correct moment is to act, to reveal to the king who her people are, and to reveal to the king what she must do and what he must do. Also notice there are two parties. And one of the key words when it comes to fighting Amalek is the word machan, tomorrow. She says, Esther says at the first party, when the king says, Ma she'elatech Esther Amalka, what is your request, Esther, umabakashateich, ad chatzia malchut? Right? Even if you ask for half of the kingdom, it'll be given. And she says, machar. Let the king and Haman come to the party that I'm going to make machar. And machar, I am going to do what the king asks. The original battle with Amalek, if you remember, Moshe says to Yehoshua, gather an army and machar. There's something about Amalek that we need to prepare. You can't just go into it. It's a machar concept. When we deal with this kind of enemy, we need this concept of machar. We need to take the rest of today and the beginning of tomorrow and prepare and decide how to do it so that we do it positively. We do it correctly. It is machar. One more point, if please, please allow me. Between the two parties, according to Chazal, Esther davened. Let's go back to Perek Chav Bet. Yaffa, I see that you want to ask a question. Let me just finish. Between the two parties, Esther davened. We're going back to Tehillim Perek Chav Bet. Lam natzeach al hayelet hashachar mizmor leDavid. To the manatzeach, the orchestra conductor, speaking of the morning star, who is Esther, a mizmor of David HaMelech. Keli, Keli, we know these words so well. Lama azavtani. My God, why did you abandon me? Rachok mishuati divrei shagati. I feel that you are so far away from me. I am screaming to you. Elokai ekra yomam velotane. My God, when I call to you by day, will you not answer? Laila, when I call to you at night, velodu miali. Will you be silent? Will you not answer me? Va'ata kadosh yoshev tehilot Yisrael. And you, Holy One, you are made kadosh. You are declared kadosh because you sit on a throne that's created by Tehillot Yisrael. It is the Tefillot of Am Yisrael. It is our Tefillot when we say in Kedusha, kadosh, 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 we are the ones who put HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his throne, Vata Kadosh, you Holy One sit upon our tefillot. B'cha batchu avoteinu, batchu vatfaltemo. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted, and you took them out of their tzarot. Elecha zaku, they cried to you, v'nimlatu, and they were saved. B'cha batchu, they trusted in you, v'lo boshu. And they were not embarrassed. She says, Eli, Eli, my God, why have you abandoned me? Amra la kadosh baruch hu, kach asita b'mitzrayim lavoteinu. You saved our fathers in Mitzrayim. Lo kevan shetza'aku shamata, was it not because they called out to you and you heard? Shenemar ve'etzakatam shamati. Remember, Hashem says to Moshe, at the burning bush, I heard their cry. Ve'ezehu tzara gedola. And which is a bigger trouble? Zo oshel Mitzrayim. Isn't this a worse problem than in Mitzrayim? Because Paro just wanted to kill all the males, but Haman wants to kill everybody. We are crying to you and we are asking you to save us. And to add the line of poignancy, the part that touches us about Esther to the story, we have a personal note in the Medrash Tehillim on this Mizbamor. Keli, Keli, my God, lama azavtani. Why have you abandoned me? Underline the me here. Why did you abandon me? Keli b'yamsuf, you're my God on Yamsuf. You didn't abandon Am Yisrael in Yamsuf. Keli b'Sinai, my God in Sinai, when you gave us the Torah, which we accepted. Lama azavtani, why did you abandon me? Lama nishtanu alai sidro shel olam. Why was the order of the world changed for me? V'siduram shel imahot, and what you did for the imahot, why did you change it for me? Uma imenu sara al yedeshe nishbet el paro laila echad. Rabboni Shel Olam, you took Sarah into the palace of a foreign king, Paro, for one night. Lakahu v'kol beito, and you punished him, Paro, and all of his family, right? Shenemar v'yinagash emet Paro, as it says in the Torah, and kol beito, that they were plagued. Ani, she'ani netuna b'toche koshel oto rasha kol hashanim halalu. And I, who have been placed in the bosom of this evil person, this evil king, all of these years, ein ata ose imi nisim. How is it that you are not doing miracles for me? The amazing story of Esther, but I'm about to finish. Do not worry. We know the rest of the story. We know that Esther does not rest when Haman is eliminated. She makes sure that new instructions are sent to the entire kingdom ruled by Ahasuerus, which was essentially the known world. She saves the Jews. They do tshuva. The Megillah tells us, Kiyamu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem. They accepted the Torah again. She makes sure that Mordechai is given a position in the kingdom with clout while she remains in the palace. But there is something else that she accomplished, which we need to mention. We mentioned that it was before the time of Esther and Mordechai that the king Koresh, Cyrus the Great, gave permission to the Jewish people to go back to Eretz Yisrael and build the Beit HaMikdash. And we know that the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash was stopped because the enemies of Yisrael wrote a letter to Koresh saying the Jews intend to rebel. Things remained the way they were because Ahasuerus was totally disinterested in allowing the Jews to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. But it was Esther's son who, according to Chazal, is Daryavesh Hasheni, Darius II, who did clean up the whole mess and insist that the Jews build their Beit HaMikdash, that they be given permission, that they be given supplies, that they be given money, that everybody help them. And there is no question at all that it was his mother who taught him very well. So not only did Esther save the lives of the Jewish people, but indirectly also was responsible for the actual construction of the second Beit HaMikdash, which allowed us 420 years of existence with all of the accoutrements of a Beit HaMikdash. So we have an amazing story. I think there's more to say, but I tried my best in the time that we're given. There is so much to learn. Thank you very, very much. Purim Sameach to all of you. Enjoy, and may we have better and better Purim, Chagim of Purim, as the years go on. Rak smachot sheyirbu.